your fear is completely misplaced. It's like you are fearful of getting eaten by a lion, so you jump into a lion den. That's what you're doing when you don't choose a niche.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with another episode of POP, the podcast on podcasting. I'm your host, Adam A. Adams. I'm super stoked because Mr. JLD's on with us today. How are you?
Adam, I am literally and figuratively on fire. So thank you, brother.
Literally and figuratively. I see that. Just a quick bit about JLD, Jean-Louis Dumas. He's the founder and host of the award-winning podcast called EO Fire, Entrepreneurs on Fire, literally and figuratively. He's got over 100 million listens of his over 3,000 episodes of his show. Insane. Per month, 100 million listens over the 3,000. Is that right?
Yes. Over the past decade, 100 million listens, averaging about 1.1 million listens every single month currently.
1.1 million listens per month. I can't even fathom that. I've got a lot of questions that are queued up for you.
I've got a lot of answers.
You've been able to make revenue of over, what was it, seven figures every year for the last 8 years?
You got your numbers right, brother.
That's impressive. I don't know. Every single year you've been able to do that. So maybe we'll have to dive in and find out how do we monetize our shows. Also, just quick, throw this out there for you to check it out. He's got a book, his first traditionally published book called The Uncommon Path to Uncommon Success. Oh, The Common. I said uncommon twice. Thank you for correcting me. And you can find that at uncommonsuccessbook.com.
Boom.
So JLD, want to find out first off, first and foremost, I've been in a couple of clubhouse rooms with you and a lot of other people are joining in and they want to start a podcast. And I hear a lot of them saying, I don't think I can start a podcast quite yet because I don't have an audience. And don't you need to have an audience before you start a podcast? So what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, how do you expect to build an audience? Podcasting is an audience builder. So if you think that like just by waiting around, you know, sticking your thumb up and trying to hitch a ride somewhere that you're going to build an audience, that's not going to happen. You're going to build an audience by doing the following: creating free, valuable, and consistent content, providing solutions to real problems. And there are few platforms that are as good as podcasting for doing just that.
Real solutions for real problems, free, valuable, consistent content. Out of curiosity, we don't have an audience already. We want to build an audience. We want to do it with podcasting. Is it, if you build it, they will come? Just because you have a podcast, you're automatically famous? Or is there something else you have to do?
You need to do the following. You need to sit down and identify a real problem that people have that you can and want to solve. When you've identified a real problem that you can and want to solve, and then you start producing content that is solving that problem, people will beat a path to your door for the best solution to their problems. If you create the second best solution or the 10th best solution, you will fail because people will ignore the second best solution to a real problem. They always have, and they always will.
Your podcast, how did you go about creating the best solution for a real problem as you started launching your podcast?
So I said, what is my big idea? My big idea was podcasting. I loved the medium. It was free, on-demand, targeted content. It just made literally all the sense in the world. But that's a vague, broad, big idea. So I niched down into business podcasts. Okay. There's a 300-400 of those at the time. This is back in 2012. I'll still get destroyed by that competition. So let me niche down again into business podcasts that interview entrepreneurs. All right. There's seven. But do I want to be the eighth best business podcast interviewing entrepreneurs? no, thank you. So I said, what's the fourth niche here? Well, they're all doing it once a week. And so I asked myself, what is the void in this marketplace of business podcasts interviewing entrepreneurs? What's something that's missing? What's something that I complain about that they're not doing well? They're doing a lot of things really well, but what's something they're not doing well? Well, one episode per week. I was having to wait around for 7 more days for the next episode to go live. I said, what if I became the first daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs? And I said, well, I would listen to that podcast. I want that podcast to exist. I'm sure a couple other people in this world do as well. So I launched the first daily podcast interviewing the world's most successful entrepreneurs. What did that mean, Adam? That meant the day that I launched, Entrepreneurs on Fire was the best daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. It was the worst daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. It was the only daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. That's why I won, because I created the best solution to a real problem that, oh, by the way, also happened to be the only solution to a real problem.
How do you find those guests? And how did you find them really in the beginning? Like, you're starting a podcast, it's brand new, it's just a thought. Most of us who are brand new and starting a podcast, we can't even think, like, how am I supposed to get those guests? You said, you know, that first podcast that's doing daily interviews, that puts a lot of strain on you finding good guests. And another thing that you said is that you want to interview the best entrepreneurs. So how did you go about finding them, and what can we do to be better at getting good guests?
So I went to a website called Google, and I typed in best entrepreneur conferences in the year 2012. And what happens? The best entrepreneur conferences popped up. Lists of the top 10 conferences, the top 15 entrepreneur conferences. I would then click on the website of those conferences, go to a tab that was called speakers on those websites. And all of a sudden, what would pop up? 10, 30, for some of the bigger conferences, 150 speakers. These are people who are recognized experts in their specific niche. These are people that are willing to fly potentially across country to stay at a hotel for 3 days to speak for 45 minutes in front of maybe 50 to 100 people. Well, when I pitched those individuals and I said, hey, why don't you wake up in the morning, grab a cup of coffee, stay in your bathrobe because this is audio only, and let's jump on a call for 15 or 20 minutes about your area of expertise. What do you say? Not everybody said yes, but by doing the quantity game and asking hundreds and hundreds of those speakers, I was able to get hundreds and hundreds of guests for Entrepreneurs on Fire. And every time I finished an episode with one of those guests, I could say, hey, you are amazing. I'd love to interview other people like you. Do you have any friends? And now they get to introduce me to their friends, and I get to keep building that snowball effect until about 3 years in, I got to a tipping point where I was having more people request to be a guest on my show than I even had spots. And now, as you and I are talking, I get over 400 inbound requests a month for people that want to be on Entrepreneurs on Fire through pitches, through all this stuff, to the degree where it's now $3,500 for a guest to be on my show because of supply and demand.
There's a lot that I want to talk to you on that, but I'm going to skip it for a second. And you mentioned 15 to 20 minutes. You're reaching out and saying to these people at the conferences, would you stay in your bathrobe because this is audio only? And you said for 15 to 20 minutes. I'm curious, is that enough time to really get the value that you want to get? Or sometimes are you going to take 45 minutes, an hour? Kind of, I really want to understand why you say 15 to 20 minutes.
That was my schedule. You know, I was going to do a daily podcast. And I said, who's my avatar? My avatar is Jimmy. He's a man, 40 years old, who has a wife and 2 kids, ages 3 and 5. He drives to work by himself every single day. His commute's about 25 minutes. I like the idea of him being able to start and finish an episode in that same commute so that he could get the entire episode in one sitting, so to speak. So that was my perfect avatar. That was the person that I was creating the podcast episodes for. And so that was the timeline I stuck to.
And as you're doing that, and trying to keep it under, you know, 15 to 20 minutes for Jimmy, the 40-year-old, wife and two kids traveling. How do you get your questions better so that you're still delivering really good value to Jimmy?
So I'm always looking to engage with my audience in every way, shape, or form. And so whenever somebody would reach out to me via social media, email, you fill in the blank, I would always reply back with, hey, I would love to ask you four questions. And those four questions are, what do you like about the show? What don't you like about the show? How did you find out about the show? And what's your biggest struggle right now? And by asking those four questions, I would learn unbelievable value about what my guests liked, didn't like, how they found the show, why they stayed, why they listened, what they were struggling with. And that helped me in every single facet of the business. And it continued to allow me to tweak, adjust, and pivot my questions, my show, to my actual listeners. Because Jimmy was just a person that I created before I launched. That was the guy that I had in my mind as the perfect listener. And over time, he's been adjusted, tweaked, pivoted. He evolved as my understanding of my actual listeners has evolved.
Makes a lot of sense. I'm really curious about the third question that you asked there. How did you find the show? What types of answers did you get in the beginning when you started asking that? And what types of answers are you getting more often now?
So that's a critical question, because when you ask people how they find the show, you're getting actual answers of people on how they're finding their way to your show. Because now when you start to understand what ways people are finding your show, you can start pouring igniter fluid on the ways that are actually working. And that's fantastic, because now you can just be focusing on what's actually working. And you can start ignoring or stopping doing things that you maybe assumed were bringing listeners to your podcast, but aren't. And you can stop doing those things. So that was the critical thing. And back in the day, the biggest way that people were finding my show was from my guests sharing their episode on Entrepreneurs on Fire with their audience. So I started making things a lot easier for my guests to do that by giving them email copy, social media copy, images, all the different things that they needed to make it even easier for my guests to share with their audience, their interview on my podcast. So I really doubled down on that, because that's one of the ways that a lot of my early listeners were telling me they were finding out about the show. Now, you know, I'm getting a lot of feedback from people that, you know, they are going to Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher Radio, and they're sorting by top business podcasts, or they're searching on Google top entrepreneur podcasts. And over the years, I've been featured in Forbes, Inc., Fast Company, and those articles pop up highly. I'm a highly ranked business podcast. So a lot of people are organically finding me there by just looking at the top shows, just kind of like on Netflix. You know, we love looking at the top 10 shows in Netflix right now, because those have the validation, you know, those have the popularity,
social proof
from the crowd, the social proof. And that's what these rankings do as well. So, you know, we spend a lot of time making sure that we're continuing to do the right things in our podcast to, you know, stay relevant in the rankings.
Is there anything with SEO that we need to know to be relevant with the rankings that you're doing?
No, just the basics, because nobody really knows and everybody's algorithms are different anyways. But, you know, essentially, one thing that I've definitely learned over the years is these rankings are a reflection of, is your show getting more listens, more subscribers, more ratings, more reviews over the past 48 hours than it was the 48 hours prior to that. So I've always kind of referred to it as a 48-hour look back. So these directories want to know, is your show on the rise? And when they look at the last 48 hours compared to the previous 48 hours of that, they can tell, is the show on the rise? Has it plateaued? Or is it on a downward trend? And then your rankings will reflect accordingly.
You mentioned one of the ways that they found you, especially in the beginning, was that the guest would share their interview with their audience. And it made me think, you gave a couple of really good tangibles. Like, for example, you mentioned that you're making it as easy as possible. So you're creating the social media for them automatically so that they don't really have to swim upstream in order to do that. What I'm wondering, though, is for us, as we're starting our podcast, or we've only had our podcast for less than 2 years, and we really want them to share our episodes, besides just doing that, is there something like between maybe getting famous guests, non-famous guests, or whatever type of guest it is that we're outreaching to that gives us a higher probability that they would share it?
No, there's definitely no like more importance of famous guests and not famous guests. The one thing that I'll say, which is true in everything in business, everything in life, everything in entrepreneurship, and of course it applies to podcasting, is if you are going to have somebody on your show and you create an unbelievably unique and special episode that's they're not answering the same questions they've always answered over the years, you're not creating the exact same content that they've created, you know, a million times before. Like for instance, when I do 20 episodes in one day, which I do one day per month, I'll do the 20 episodes. 19 of those interviews that I do will ask essentially the same questions. And there'll be one that's completely unique and really different and really interesting and fun to do. And then fast forward a month or two, when all those shows are going live, I'll get emails from the host and they'll be like, hey, your episode's live. Can you share? And I'm like, no, because you ask me the same questions I always get asked. So my audience has heard me answer those questions a million times. So there's no reason for me to share because there's no new content to be shared. But then that one episode, that one podcast that asked me all those unique questions that was different, I will share that because my audience hasn't heard that side of me or heard that value or that, you know, specific content before. And so when you're able to kind of bring that out in an episode, the likelihood of your guests actually sharing goes through the roof.
Jeez, man, that's good value right there. And for me personally, just thinking about ahead of time, I put a couple of questions together, like when I was going to have you on, because you are well known, you are well respected. And I was like, what can he answer that some other people that I'll have on the show can't? But they're also very likely to be other questions that other hosts would also ask you. And I definitely could have done a lot better trying to think, what is it that he's not getting asked so that it would be more likely that like you would share mine with your millions of listeners.
At the same time, for someone like you who has a very niche focused podcast, like at the same time, you want to be asking questions that your listeners are expecting because that's why they're tuning into your podcast, because you really have niched yourself into a podcast about podcasting. So like that's what they come to expect. So when you have really defined a niche, which I highly recommend people do, then it is important you stay within those parameters because that's what your listeners are hoping for and expecting. It's, you know, more of those podcasts that are just like, you know, business podcasts, entrepreneurial podcasts, and then they just ask the same questions, like those shows are never going to be as valuable as they otherwise could be because that podcast itself doesn't have a niche, doesn't have a focus. And again, they're just asking all the same questions that everybody else asks those individuals.
Yeah. I've helped several people like just launch a podcast, start from scratch. And one thing that I recognize and have noticed that many people do is the opposite of what you were just saying. So they're like, okay, well, I don't want to pigeonhole myself into some random niche. It's going to get boring for me. I'm going to, you know, not want to ask these questions over and over and over. And I'm better than that. I can speak on health and I can speak on, you know, eating right. And I can speak on making sure you get enough sleep. And I want to add all of the value. And so they end up being as broad as possible for the title of their podcast, for the title of each episode. When they're bringing people on to their show, they'll also ask extremely general questions like, how do you do this? How do you do that? And what you're saying is one of the best ways to get big is to niche. You said you niched down four times. You saw there was a couple of hundred, and then you got down to seven, and then you got down to where you were the one. But I think a lot of people are afraid to do that. So what advice do you have to somebody who's concerned about pigeonholing themselves too much?
Your fear is completely misplaced. It's like you are fearful of getting eaten by a lion, so you jump into a lion den. That's what you're doing when you don't choose a niche, when you just stay vague and broad, because, you know, it's the exact opposite thing you should be doing. If you don't want to get eaten by a lion, don't jump in a lion den. Like, but you know, that's what people do, unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting. They're scared because they're saying, I want my audience to be as big as possible. I want to capture everybody. And in reality, they end up capturing nobody because nobody wants vague. Nobody wants broad. You're a little tiny girl screaming into the winds when you go broad. Nobody cares. Nobody can hear you. And you will be ignored because you're not bringing any value to the world. When you identify one major problem that exists in this world that you can and want to become the best solution to, you will win because people will beat a path to your door because everybody wants the number one solution to a problem that they have and a problem that they want solved. So that's the sentence in the statement you need to be replaying in your mind over and over again as you're creating your podcasts, your business, your life.
To some of us, these figures that you've made with your podcast are overwhelming. And to others, it's like, oh, I know I can achieve that. I know I can, you know, make seven figures a year through my podcast. There's got to be a way. For those who are confident that they will be able to achieve it, can you help them see what that path might be for them to get to like seven figures a year?
Well, I've laid out a roadmap for 91 months in a row. We publish our monthly income reports. And these monthly income reports are incredibly detailed. We bring on our lawyer. We bring on our accountant to give a tax tip and a legal tip. We share everything when it comes to our business, our successes to be emulated, our failures to be avoided. So you have 91 months worth of income reports to look through and to see what's been working and what might resonate with you and what you might want to implement into your business. But at the end of the day, everybody tries to overcomplicate things. And it's the simplest thing in the world. When you create free, valuable, and consistent contents, you will grow an audience that will know, like, and trust you. And when you ask that audience, what is your biggest struggle right now? They will tell you. And then you can spend your time identifying which problem, which struggle, which obstacle and challenge that your audience has that you can and want to become the number one solution to, and then go and create that solution in the form of a product or a course or a community or a software or a service. You will win. You will generate revenue and you will be able to build off of that over time. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen.
JLD, you started your podcast, I believe it was in 2012. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
So let's fast forward 10 years, 2022. You don't have the network that you built. All you have is the knowledge. You don't have your fame anymore. You don't have, you know, the credibility, the notoriety that you've built over the last 10 years. But you're a podcaster who's going to launch a podcast in 2022. What do you do differently?
So I buy the common path to uncommon success, and I go through that 17-step roadmap that will lead me to financial freedom and fulfillment, which starts with step one, which is discovering my big idea and identifying my big idea, going through the exercise of what am I passionate about, excited about, enthusiastic about, but at the same time, what am I skilled in? What expertise do I have? What value can I add to the world? And where's that zone of fire in the middle? And then discovering the niche within that zone of fire that's not being served, and then becoming the best solution to that real problem. Maybe I launch a podcast about how to cure sleep apnea. You don't think that that would be an amazing podcast? Of course it would. But of course, it'd help if I was passionate, excited, and also knowledgeable about sleep apnea. But that's just one example of a million things. What about a podcast about the best NFTs in the shoe world? Like, nobody's doing that podcast. That would immediately become the best podcast on NFTs focusing on shoes. Like, there's a million niches and combinations of niches that you can do in this world if you just sit down and do the work. And so many people just want to launch another podcast interviewing entrepreneurs about their successes, their failures, their strategies, their tactics. And guess what? You're not going to be the best podcast out there doing those things. So you will be ignored. But when you sit down and say, you know what, I'm just going to go back to the drawing board and I'm going to become the best solution to a real problem in this world, you'll win.
Really, really good. Thank you. And I was wondering, as part of your plan to launch in 2022, and you don't have that network right now, would joining a high-level mastermind be part of that way to grow your brand or not? And would you recommend us following that same path?
I would definitely recommend following the common path to uncommon success. Step 6 within that 17-step roadmap is to either create or join a mastermind, because you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. And the mastermind that you create will make or break your success.
The mastermind that you create will make or break your success. They can find the book again at uncommonsuccessbook.com. The common path to uncommon success. Awesome. And I'm trying to think if I've asked pretty much everything that I want to ask. I know I've got a little bit more time with you. So, John, the last question that I want to ask you is, in your book, what is one of the 17 steps, I believe you said 17, that you feel like is totally undervalued by other people outside of like your knowledge?
Step 17, which is keep the money you make. So few people keep the money they make. They work so hard as entrepreneurs, and they do generate a lot of value, and they do generate a lot of revenue. The money comes in, but they just have never figured out how to keep the money they make. And it would break their hearts if they actually sat down at the end of the year and did a hourly rate of what they actually got to keep at the end of the year. It's a skill. It needs to be a focused priority. I recommend reading the book Profit First by Michael Michalowicz, but I go into great detail about keeping the money you make.
Love it. JLD, thank you so much for adding value to our listener. I appreciate you jumping on. And I will, at the end of this, ask you who else needs to be on my show, since I learned that from you today. Also pulled a lot of other tangible value from you as you went through each of these steps, talking about keeping your episode short because your avatar specifically wants it short, talking about engaging with your audience, asking your audience what they want to hear. And those 4 questions that you're asking them, what they like about it, what they don't like about it, which is huge. Most people are afraid to ask that, but I know that it's important that you understand what needs to change. How did you find the show is another really, really good one. You gave us some tips on sharing, having our guests be able to share the episode by making it as easy as possible. Making sure that as we're launching a podcast, we are not being the 10th solution. We're being the best solution with free, valuable, consistent content, giving real solutions to real problems, identifying that real problem that you can and want to serve. I really, really appreciate that. And I hope that the listener got as much value as I did. I'm going to let you go. So until next time, grow your podcast. Grow your influence and grow your income. I'm Adam and I'm out. This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.